It's Thursday. It's 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That means it's time for another Tom and Shane Business and Politics. And happy to be here with you today. Thanks for joining us. And hey, if you haven't subscribed yet, you got to do that. I mean, it's really easy. You subscribe, you hit the subscribe button down in the corner, and you ring the notification bell, because you'll always be notified when there's another podcast. And like us and leave a comment, because YouTube likes that kind of crap. So by all means, do it. If you'd like to support us monetarily, there's a link in the description below for all the great stuff Shane and I will do if you support us monetarily, and that you don't want to pass that up. And we do these on StreamYard, which is so easy, even I can do it, as you can see. So there's a link to a free version below if you want to try doing your own podcast, just like we do. And we need to also remind you that we are both writing on Medium.com, and we both have articles over there. And there's a link to both of our sites below in the description. So get over there and check out our writings. And today we're going to talk about nature's gentle giants. How high can they grow? So Shane, how high can they grow anyway?
Well, the most recent discovery in Yosemite was... What was it? It was made back in 2006, August 25th, actually, which is why we're talking about it, because it's August. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Naturalists Chris Atkins and Michael Taylor, they verified 379 feet tall.
Wow.
And with a circumference of 74 meters, 700 to 800 years old as a baby.
Yeah. The width of that would be as wide as a basketball court.
There you go.
Put that in perspective. And that would be 30 stories tall.
Almost 40
stories tall. So
the second largest one in the forest is the Centurion, 327 and a half feet.
Uh-huh.
The Dorner fir, which is a fir tree, 327 feet. And Raven's Tower, another cedar, 317 feet. And there's a gigantic sequoia that has yet to be named, that's 314 feet. So those are the five, tallest species in the world. And it's quite fascinating. There's about five different genus species. Trees fall in two groups: coniferous, which are hard trees, hard trees, and then you have.
That's not carnivorous. That's carniferous, right? You don't want to get them confused. Carnivorous.
Yeah, carnivorous, and then deciduous is a soft oak tree or softwood. So hardwood, softwood, mm-hmm. And we up here have both. We're lucky, and. We also have a rainforest on the island that has several 200, 300 foot trees. They're amazing trees, and have been around for 2,000-3,000 years. There's several that have been as old as 2,000-3,000 years, or as old as 2,000-3,000 years.
Yeah. Well, we've also got something we got to talk about, the Mariposa. I guess that's how you pronounce that, Mariposa Grove.
Well, Mariposa County is in northwestern California, and of course, home of the Mariposa Grove or the Sequoia Grove in Wawona, California, the southernmost part of Yosemite National Park. And there's a fire going on now, and we thought we should honor this grove of trees because it's indigenous to the United States, and it's quite remarkable because it's not a large grove of trees, but the sustainability of the grove for 10,000-25,000 years has been incredible, considering that these fires didn't just start because of man. They fire up every year in California. I mean, they've been happening for hundreds of millions of years. But
yeah.
but these old trees, as a grove, seem to do well, even in fire, because they tend to be barren trees, you know, a third of the way down, although they don't have a thick bark. They don't create a significant amount of sap other than directly inside. And so they seem to have an ability to survive, but they're still trying to work very hard, of course, at making mm-hmm. sure they do.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good size. And to last that long in California, with the number of fires they have every year, is pretty remarkable. So, well, the other one we got is Cedrus.
Yes.
That, big trees there. Yeah.
That's another form of cedar that grows principally in the Himalayas and the Mediterranean region. And, you know, they grow to similar heights. And they also have been, you know, some of the trees have been determined to be as much as 3,000 years old. It's a remarkable thing because scientists can drill them out and take a core and literally look and see how different years over thousands of years have had different types of weather. They can determine the different types of weather, drought or no drought, from the rings in the tree.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So, well, we got we've also got, I'll let you pronounce that one because I have no idea.
What's that?
The what's on the screen?
you mean the Thuja plicata?
Yeah, that one. Good
evergreen evergreen coniferous tree of the cypress family, and it's native to North Africa. And one of the problems, of course, with trees anywhere or around the Mediterranean or in that part of the world is that most have been cut down because of, you know, over the last 2,000 years, because man has used them for firewood, you know, to cook mm-hmm. with.
Yeah. And don't replace them.
And they don't seem to make an effort to replace
for
them.
For whatever reason,
I mean, even the United Kingdom has an indigenous Thuja plicata tree. It's called the Western Red Cedar. Mm-hmm. And they also grow quite tall, and they're quite beautiful trees.
Yeah, yeah, they do. Well, we talked a little bit with the Grove about Yosemite, but I've never been there, so I know you probably have, but I have.
Fabulous place. Yeah, it's quite remarkable, yeah.
I was thinking, I don't think I've been to a national park.
Gee, why am I not surprised?
Anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you live 20 miles from Yellowstone Park and you've never been there.
Never been there, yeah. So one of these days I'm going to have to go. I've only been here 30 years and haven't been to the park yet. So I guess, I don't know, one of these days we'll see.
Yeah, and it's quite fascinating about it because of the popularity. You know, I don't think most people realize, but it was Abraham Lincoln that created Yosemite Park in 1864. And, you know, it was one of these found diamonds of it within your country with all the exploring that went back on in the Louisiana Purchase back in the late 1800s. And that's why it's so fascinating to be able to get the opportunity to talk about it. Mm-hmm.
And well, it went back and forth between the state and the feds.
That's
right. The feds gave it to the state at one point, and then the state gave it back. So
it didn't really wasn't established or created and opened as a park until October 1st, 1890. And they have approximately about 2.2 to 2.3 million visitors, nothing compared to Yellowstone Park mm-hmm. or Glacier Park.
Yeah, they have quite a visitor group there. So, yeah, we rely on tourism from Yellowstone here to sustain Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it's quite a, I'll have to go someday. Who knows?
You need to buy an RV.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Or rent one. Rent, they're great to rent. They really are. Yeah.
They are. So any final thoughts on trees and their height and weight and size and
in the measure of value in the plant world, they're quite significant because of what we learned about the amount of oxygen they produce. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that, you know, man in the, having the capability to put a fire out in the last 70 years, I don't think makes a lot of difference when these have been around for thousands of years and have survived, mm-hmm. I'm sure, bigger fires. So, you know, I know there's an argument back and forth within the, you know, U.S. Forest Service. Do you let it burn or do you try to put it out? And it's one of these situations where they just can't make a determination. But, they get emotional over it, like in this case, because it's in a national park and there's such amazing trees. And so then they end up spending millions, tens of millions of dollars, you know, to fight these fires. And I don't know that fire suppression turns out to be very successful, really, at the end of the day, when you really look at it. I mean, when I watched the cities burn here in central BC last year because of fires, they couldn't do it. There's nothing they could do. The firestorms were just overwhelming.
Yeah, they're pretty intense. And well, as you know, Shane, Yellowstone burned back in the 80s and came That's back right. stronger than ever. So there is a school of thought for that the forest will sustain itself and will return.
That's right. A third of Yellowstone burned, and it was decided because it was on parkland. The Forest Service wasn't going to it's a natural habitat, mm-hmm. so they let it burn naturally. The result, of course, was grasslands.
Mm-hmm.
It grew within a year, and with grasslands came smaller trees, which grew. And then all of a sudden, animals and smaller animals and birds returned to the forest floor, and there was a lot more wildlife that returned to mm-hmm. the undergrowth, because when a forest creates a canopy of shadow, there's no sunlight that reaches the ground for anything to grow.
Yeah. So it's it came back better than ever from what everybody reported as saying. So it's pretty.
It's not one of the nicest parts of the park to walk through. It's beautiful, mm-hmm. and you know there's all kinds of animals to see. You know, smaller ones, not the big ones. Everyone likes the big ones, but kids like the small ones. You know,
sure. Yeah, there's all kinds of wildlife there. So
and birds and mm-hmm. and small deer and lots of rodents.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, hey, I need to remind you, the award-winning Tom and Shane, we're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. Just dial up KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. There's nothing else for you to do. There's nothing to sign up, nothing to join, no personal information needed. All you do is come over there and click listen now at KMMSAM.com. And if you missed any of our previous shows, including this one or the radio shows, they are all at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and you'll be taken over to all of our shows. We just passed 9,100 downloads, so we're on our way to 10,000 downloads, so we're very excited about that. And Shane and I both are very humble that of that support. And we thank you very much for that. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. I think any other thoughts, Shane, you got before we go?
No, I think everything's moving ahead with our library of shows that we're trying to create for everybody to enjoy. And Thursday we have an interesting topic, and then of course we'll talk about business and other things perhaps a mm-hmm. little bit on Thursday, because, you know, there'll be new numbers that we might talk about for 5 minutes, at the end of the program, just to update everybody with the economy.
Yeah.
But I do want to say last night was quite impressive. The primaries last night were quite overwhelming, I think, and mm-hmm. and show a real draw towards Trump candidates. He's made a real effort to go out and replace a bunch of rhinos and make certain that when the Congress convenes after the election, it'll be, basically America First congressmen and senators. And that's probably a good thing.
So we'll find out.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll see you on, or we'll listen to you on Saturday, or talk to you on Saturday, I guess. And we'll see you next Tuesday. So bye for now.